If you had a thought or an idea or a dream or a vision, and you knew it would be beneficial to others and possibly improve their life, how would you pass that dream or that insight or that vision on to others? Probably you'd use some form of communication. My name's Dorsey Atkinson. I'm the pastor here at LifeSpring and Langston LifeSpring Church, and I'm glad to have you here. And what I'm trying to do is communicate with you. And today I'm going to try to communicate with you about a vision that's written about in the Bible. Now, again, if we were to go and communicate or try to meet someone and communicate to them something that we had inside of our head, a vision, idea, an insight, we would probably use words. And we would probably use more than one word, and we would probably take those words and put them together into sentences and then form those sentences into paragraphs to try to convey to someone else what we're seeing or sensing or in our own mind's eye seeing that we can pass on to others that they could see. The word vision can sometimes be translated as changing the unseen to the seen. It's an act or a power of imagination that a mode or seeing or convincing of others. It's an unusual amount of discernment or foresight. This ability in our lifetime has taken the forms of many ways, but in many of those ways that it's taken are in books. Books are these written by these authors or these people who are able to take these visions in their head and these insights and put them into a form on paper that others can read and begin to mentally get the picture in their head and understand what they're talking about. If I say the name Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, what comes to your mind? Do you have a picture of what that young man looks like? Does anybody have a picture of him? And if you wish, just read the words, you would have to go to the description. Excuse me, that Mark Twain wrote and described Huck Finn or Tom Sawyer. How he described the mighty Mississippi and how he described all of the things he did to give you this visual imagery. There was a Greek slave named Aesop at one time. And he wrote these fables. And these fables, this thing is driving me nuts, I'm telling you. These fables were to help people. And so he described them in various ways. There's one of my favorite authors, an author who is a doctor, Dr. Seuss. He's one of my favorite. He translates things in, but it helped me if I was just to read the book Green Eggs and Ham, and there wasn't pictures, it wouldn't make much sense to me. Horton Hears a Who might make sense, but not the green eggs and ham. So when we have these imageries, they help. What about George Lucas when he wrote the Star Wars saga? You could read that and get the imagery. However, it wasn't until we heard James Earl Jones' voice as Darth Vader and seen that black cloak and that hat that we really got the conceptual idea of who Darth Vader was. What about Harry Potter? If you read any of J.K. Rowling's things before the movie came out, you had an image of what Harry would look like. But now everybody's image is, what is the guy's name? Daniel Radcliffe. So we have in this and we see this. What about one of my favorites written by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is Sherlock. Sherlock Holmes. And you can read those stories and they sound so great. And as you read them, you put the imagery in your mind. But when you can see the image, BBC does one called Sherlock. It's from England. Does anybody watch that? That one rocks right there now. And so you have an older concept being written in modern days, and actually it's being played out in modern days where Sherlock texts which is pretty cool to me. And he's using modern technology and understanding things and using that deductive reason and all that insight of observing things. And now we know things because of videography. Videography allows us to see what someone from somewhere and translate that into an image that we can understand it in our mind. So what you're seeing in this illustration that was right before here, this video that was the buffer for this message, was a video about a prophecy. It was written by a guy whose name was Ezekiel. Ezekiel was born around 570, or the time that this was written is around 571 to 593, somewhere in that time frame, that 20-some year span of time, B.C. And as he wrote this, it was a time when the Jewish nation, the Israelite nation, had been conquered time and time again. And through all these conquerings, they would take a handful and take them off to this place to be a slave. And another group would take and conquer it and take them off this way. And so what they knew is their reality was just being beat up, was just being enslaved, was just a terrible life. Everything that they knew, their whole society, their whole understanding of how things were, as they went through this, they one nation after another conquered them, they lost all identity of who they were. Thank you so much. And as they did that, they lost themselves. And during this time, Ezekiel was in Babylon, which was maybe, if you would, the headquarters of the craziestness of the world. Babylon, I think, today is around modern-day Iraq. Babylon at that time had all kinds of beliefs there. They had all kinds of ideas of what God was. They had sorcerers, they had astrologists, they had soothsayers, or what you would call fortune tellers. They had all of these things, and many of the Israelites, or the Jewish people, were captured, and they were living in this world. And they were being surrounded by this whole community of people who didn't believe like they did. Or they were scattered in other places and living in areas that they just weren't like us. And so during that time, Ezekiel gets a vision, a dream, an insight, some type of communication from God. And he was told to write it down, to take and form words and sentences to describe this instance or this thing that he was about to tell. Many times in the Bible you will hear things where they describe God is like a shepherd who takes his sheep and holds them in his arms. Now I want to ask you this, how many of you have ever shepherded any sheep here in the last few months, years, or your life? One. How many of you understand the shepherding concept? But where do you understand it from? Because somebody either wrote it down or told you. It's not because of what you've actually experienced. So these words help people to understand what's going on that they might not have experienced themselves. And so Ezekiel writes these words. In the first portion of that, you heard what he said in verse 37. He said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry." Now, when you saw that imagery, if I would have read that before you saw the imagery, you would have had to form your own. But now let's just use the image we saw. A big valley, bones everywhere. So Ezekiel is being led by God into this place to go out. And what do bones represent to you? Death. Destruction. Right? It's all of those things. And so God puts him in the middle of all that. In the middle of these bones. And then he doesn't just leave him there in this vision. He has him walk back and forth. He leads him back and forth across the bones. leads him among the dead, leads him among those that are no longer here. Now, if that was you, what would you be thinking about as God led you through this valley of bones? I know I walk in a cemetery today, to this day, and I'm stepping like this, and because I am not walking on somebody's grave. Is anybody else like that? I just don't do it. I look for the markers, and I am walking just like this in some place because I'm not taking a chance. I just don't want to do that. That's just me. But my point is, what happens when you're walking through a whole valley and it's just covered with it? And as he's walking through this, he makes this observation. Number one, that there's a lot of them. And number two, that they're not just dry. They're very dry. No moisture. Nothing. And then he goes on and he says, or God says, Son of man, can these bones live? And he says one of the most profound things that I've ever heard. I said, Sovereign Lord, only you alone know. It's like, I don't know. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if you would have put me in that story right there, I would have gone, well, no, they can't live. Most of us would go, no, they can't live. But see, Ezekiel is now writing in chapter 37. And he's already written 36 chapters. He's already experienced something that we're reading in this story. We've just turned to the middle of the story about Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson in the middle of one, and we only see it there. So you don't understand what all he's seen before. So undoubtedly, he's seen enough stuff before that he goes, I'm not sure. Because I used to think dead bones couldn't walk. I used to think dead bones were just that, they're dead. And they're very dry. But he's now saying, I'm not so sure, because he says, only you know. You alone know, God. So then it says that he says, well, this is what God says to Ezekiel, who is writing this down for us to hear today. He says, prophesy to these dead bones. So talk to these dead bones. Speak to these bones. Speak to this stuff that represents death. Speak to it. Now, how many of you have ever spoken to an inanimate object? Anybody ever done that? How many of you spoke to your computer before? And I'm talking before they would listen to you. I've spoken to my doors, trying to unlock it. Why won't you unlock? Like it's going to say, because you don't have the key in there correctly. I've spoken to all kinds of things. I've spoken to the TV before. I've tried to coach people on the football field from on my side of the TV set like they could hear me in that headset that coach is wearing on the sideline. We've all talked to inanimate objects, but I'm just going around talking to bones. I just don't know. And so he says, dry bones. This is what he says, dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover your skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know I am the Lord. So this whole part says, I'm going to do something to these bones. I'm going to bring you alive. You go tell these bones, you're going to come to life. I'm bringing you alive. You go tell the bones that right now you are very dry and you're nothing. But I'm going to put tendons back on you. And tendons are the part that connects to the bones that makes them move. I'm going to put skin over that. I'm going to connect you. I'm going to put you back together. I'm going to take the foundation that's there, that is laying down, discarded by everyone else, and ignored, and I'm going to take that foundation and I'm going to build upon that foundation. I'm going to build on that. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to bring life back into it. And so Ezekiel says these words in his writings. So I prophesied as I was commanded. In other words, so I went and did what he said. He told me to do this, I went and did it. Wouldn't life be a lot better in this world if we all had the courage to do what God told us to do the first time and just do it? Whether it makes sense whether it doesn't. So Ezekiel begins to be this pivotal point, this pivotal person that God is speaking through to make a difference among these dead things. And Ezekiel says this. Now he goes from, well, I did what he said, I prophesied to him. Then he says this. As I was prophesying, there was a noise. A rattling around sound. Now you know what rattling bones sounds like. Halloween's coming up. You know, you've heard those little skeleton things that they've got and how it sort of sounds. It's a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Toe bone connected to the foot bone. The foot bone's connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone's connected to the shin bone. Shin bone to the knee bone. Knee bone to the thigh bone. Thigh bone to the hip bone. Hip bone to wherever it goes. I don't know after that. But there's this connecting, this movement of the bones. And then he says, and I looked and I saw. So he hears something happening. Then he sees something happening. The tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So part of what God was doing was starting to connect things together, put them back, get them in order, but they still needed something. They needed life, and life was coming from breath. And they didn't have that. Now I'm just going to tell you, he's not talking about bones, he's talking about people here. That's who God is talking to. He's talking about the Jewish nation. He's talking about the Jewish nation. In fact, when he talks in verse 11, he says, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone because we are all cut off. Now, when's the last time you heard bones speak? They don't. They have to have other things. Bones don't speak. They might rattle around. So these are not physically bones in this illustration. He says, I'm talking about people. My people have given up on me. My people are crying out. They're saying things. Our bones are dried up. I can't do anymore. I'm too old. I'm too wore out. I'm too young. I don't know. Nobody gives me the chance. All they're doing is making excuses because they see what they don't have rather than seeing the foundation that they do have. The foundation of the bones. The framework of the whole body. They feel like all their hope is gone. I can't get there from here. There's no way. I don't understand. It seems like, and I don't know about you, but many times in my life, I feel like God's mad at me. I feel like that that's a continual, perpetual cycle of all the screw-ups I do, and I'm getting punished for it by God. And I feel like sometimes I'm cut off. I feel like I'm out of His favor. I'm out of His glory. I'm out of His eyesight. I'm out of His hearing sign, or His hearing line. I feel like that sometimes I, by my own choices, get into situations or places that I shouldn't be and that He can't get me from there. I feel like that I say something, I can't recover from it. I do something, I can't recover from it. And I feel like this sometimes. And especially when things get so bad, either financially, physically, emotionally, relationally, even my spiritual life, that I feel like all hope is gone. Now, I want you to understand that there's an interesting thing that when I was speaking at the other campus and I was preaching, it just sort of came to me. Do you know that I believe there's a difference between preaching or between praying and speaking? Do you understand? Praying is what I do to God, right? That's the communication I have with God. Speaking is what I do with you. Correct? So, this is saying, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone, we are cut off. They're saying that. They're not praying that. They're saying that. They're talking to everybody else about how bad it is, how bad things are going, how deep it is, and all this. They're talking about it with others, but they're not communicating it with God. But understand this, God hears it. God hears when you gripe and grumble and complain about everything that's going on every time you say it, even when you don't mean for Him to hear it. When you say, I'm sorry, I'm so disappointed in this, I'm so dissatisfied with this, I'm so unhappy with this, I'm so hopeless, he hears it. And unfortunately, I think in many cases, sometimes when we say things over and over, we begin to believe those things we say rather than what God has said to us in our prayers. He says, you tell them I'm going to bring them up from their graves. And verse, going back to verse 37, once their bones are up and once they're about and they got their muscles or their tendons and their skin, they still need life, and he's not finished. I would say to you that many of us in the United States today, many of us in the Christian world, many of us who call ourselves Christians, we are the bones. At one state, we are the bones, or we have tendons on us with skin, but there's more of us that have bones or skin and tendons but don't have the life of Christ in us. And we can't understand why things aren't changing. We look like humans. We can move like humans, but we don't have the breath of God in us. Because one, we won't ask for it, or two, we reject what we do have. And therefore, the world is waiting and suffering because we are either in the bone stage laid out, or in the bone stage being formed, or in the bone stage adding tendons and skin to it, but in either case haven't completed the process. And I would say that's our choice of whether we take that breath or not. Many people had the attitude of defeated. They're defeated already. They won't take a breath of God. They don't want to take another chance. They don't want to step out in faith. They want God to do that for them. And I would say, he's able, but he needs us to participate. He tells Ezekiel, he tells this one guy, this one who gets it. He tells him in this vision dream, you go and you talk. You done talk to the bones. You got them to believe this. Now you got to go talk to the breath. You got to pray and speak to the Holy Spirit. Fill them up with life. Stop letting them go through the motions and let them feel and sense what it is to breathe. Yesterday, Jody and I went to visit Lily and Nate, who had a son Friday, little Nate, Nathaniel. And I'm thinking to myself, just a few, less than 24 hours from the time my wife was holding, just 24 hours later, that baby wasn't breathing. That baby was inside of her womb, inside being nurtured by liquid and things like that. But there's no, it's not breathing. It's not till it comes out. And they do whatever they do, and it just starts breathing. And I'm thinking, what does those lungs feel like the first time they put in air instead of amniotic fluid? What's that feel like to a child, to an infant, to a baby? Does it hurt? I know what it feels like to breathe in water. You ever done that before? Ever got water up your nose or in your lungs and get the cough? You understand? You know, I know what that feels like, and if it feels that difficult there, I'm thinking, how hard has it got to be? No wonder he's crying when he comes out. The breath of God isn't always comfortable. The breath of God isn't always easy. But the breath of God is life. And without it, we're just a short step from being bones with tendons and skin, and just a shorter step from being just bones laying on the floor. So God goes and says, you talk to those shells of people. And he does. He says, so I went and prophesied as I was commanded. Notice, Ezekiel, he thinks it's a commandment. Not the Ten Commandments. Not go and make disciples. That Jesus said, Jesus hadn't even been on the scene yet as a human. But what he's being told is, you go talk to people. I need you to pass this message on to them. And I would say to you, church, that's what God is saying to each and every one of us. That some in this room are dry and we need to speak to them. Some in this room are skeleton and framework of muscles on them, but are just going through the motions, and we need to speak to them. And some of us in this room are the ones who should be doing the speaking about what God can do. Because you see, Ezekiel wasn't going to be talking about what he read about. Ezekiel wasn't going to be talking about what he saw at the movie production of what this looks like. Ezekiel was going to talk about, this is what God has done to me. I was those dry bones. I was in this stage of just going through the motions and hollow. But now I have the breath of life in me that comes from God Almighty. And I'm going to make a difference in your life by sharing it with you. See, the keys when I read this and what I take away from this is that God leads like he did Ezekiel, and we should follow. That God commands, and that we should obey. That we see dry bones, not just dry bones, we see very dry bones, very hopeless situations. But God sees an army waiting to arise from the ashes. Right now we have people in our nation who are struggling right now. We see video glimpses of this on the TV, of what's going on in Houston and in the surrounding areas of Texas. And we see people pulling people out, and we get a glimpse of it in a 5-minute YouTube clip or a 2-minute something or a 15-second clip, and we see these things, right? But they're living in it every day now. At night, the water's still there. In the morning, it's still there. When the sun's out, the water's still there. The difficulties they're living in. No power is no power, daytime or nighttime. And we see it, and we're disengaged from it. We're sitting here going, what can we do? Or can I do anything? Or, unfortunately, like me, we go, I'm glad that's not me. But it is us. Because in some form or version in your life, you're surrounded by water and destruction, or you're surrounded by difficulties. It could be with your relationships. It could be, I don't know what it is, but you're surrounded like that. It just doesn't take on the physical form of a flood. It takes on the form of, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. For them, it's learning how to live in that state. You can't flush the toilets. You can't use electricity. Your whole mind has to change how you think in those situations. Would you agree? You can't just go where you think because the water may be contaminated. Yes, it's water, but you can't. You understand what I'm saying? You have to change how you think. They're being changed because their environment around them changed them. Well, what's changing us here on dry land? With electricity, with water. Are we just saying to one another, somebody ought to do something? Are we just saying God should step in, or are we really praying about that? Are we doing something about it? See, it only takes a few who get a breath of life in them, who's lost everything or lost something, who knows what it's like to be in a hopeless situation and remember that, not because it was a video, but because they lived through it and the God of the universe delivered them through it. Those are the people. Those are the army that arise from the dead bones or the dry bones that change the world. One person, one relationship, one community, one city, one state, one nation, one world at a time. So where are you at in that process? Are you still going to wander around hopeless? Or are you going to hear that God can do this? That this is not a fable. It's not a... I guess for me, the thing is that I've seen through scriptures that once God told this story, less than a few years later, Israel begins to be called back and form into a nation. It's historically documented. The nation of Israel. The nation of Israel. A valley of dry bones. Have you seen the pictures from the death camps? Bones upon bones upon bones. Millions. Millions. I can't even conceive that. Millions of people terminated. And now there's bones upon bones in the pictures. And God breathed life back into that. And now the nation begins to flourish again when it thought, what could it be? And you listen to the stories of the Holocaust victims. And they tell those stories. And they tell a story of hope in despair. You learn to celebrate an orange slice like you used to celebrate for a big birthday party or something. Dry bones, it's time to come alive. It's time to come alive, and it's an attitude. It's an attitude that you choose to open yourself up to the God of the universe to say, I know it ain't much, Lord. This is me. Take me and do what you will. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily give you everything that I am and I have. Breathe life into me again. I want to be a part of that army. So as the band comes forward to close us out in our last song, I want you to reflect on those things of what God is calling you to do or be. Reflect on the man or woman that you're called to be. Not necessarily who you are now, but who He's calling you to be. Be aware that many of the things that I'm seeing in the video archives and the things that we look at, people were saying, I was just going to help people. I felt like God was calling me to help people. And I brought my boat over there and I went to go find somebody and there was nobody there and I'm driving around or riding around the boat and something just tells me to turn left instead of turning right, and I turn left, and I don't know why I turn left. It made no sense, and they turn left, and down the road or down the waterway now because it's underwater, as they turn left, they find somebody stranded in a house. And they could have said that whole time, I could have stayed at home and just take care of my people, just take care of the people I know. Not take any risks, not take any chances, but yet these people are going out and taking those chances. And people are realizing that there's still good and life in this world. Would they know that from you? Would your friends know that you're not just a walking zombie, just a bunch of bones with meat and muscle? Will they know that the life, the Spirit of God lives in you? Then during this closing song, maybe it's time you ask for that Spirit. And not ask your neighbor, not talk to someone else, but pray to God to breathe that breath of life back into you, to renew you. So be it, Father. Amen.